preaching this very often, I can tell you.
This is warm.
Ooh.
What?
Ooh, that felt pretty good, actually. Now I know how they cool themselves. Say something to this side over here. Offering should never go that quick. Ever. Just kidding. That's right. They were more ready than the rest. That's right. All right. Praise God. Great time of worship. Before I say kids go, I just want the kids to know as we get close to the end of the service, Lori's going to come in for the video, and I think my daughter Michaela is going to bring all the kids. They may watch it outside so they can see the video as well, so you kids will get to see what's going on as well. But for right now, get out of here. Go. Get. Whoa. Man, see, you guys ought to be that eager to get in here, just falling over yourself. Man, what a great bunch of kids this morning. Thank you so much for that. If you guys would, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and turn to the book of the chapter 52. If you have trouble finding that, it's okay. You've got a while because I'm actually going to come to that today's text at the end of our time together today. So you've got a few minutes. All week long, I wrestled with what do I do this morning, this first morning back from our trip. I knew I wanted to show a video, and we are going to show that at the end. And thank you so much to Laverne Detweiler and Caton, his wife. We had a really long layover there and back in Miami. Were we 10 hours in Miami? 9 hours or 10 hours in the airport? Laverne used most of that time to put this video together that we're going to watch at the end of the service today. So thank you to him. But all week I thought, do I preach again on missions and evangelism? Because I just did that right before we left. And over several hours, Lord's like, yeah, that's what you're going to talk about. So that's where we're going today. I promise you, Lord willing, we will come back to our regular series in 1 Corinthians and finish up spiritual gifts next week. To say that this past week was amazing would be an understatement. I got to thinking, even in the airport, and just kind of walking around, thinking about the events of the past week. I got to thinking about that passage in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and Peter preaches this powerful sermon, and 3,000 people come to know Christ, and they're added to the church. And then Luke, who gave us the book of Acts, Luke says that they were all in awe. All of the church was in awe of what God was doing. And if you've never understood what the awe of God is, we got to experience that this week. I can't really explain it any other way. We were just constantly in awe of everything God was doing. And I don't want to be that person that comes back from a missions trip or vacation and takes you through 200 photos and every single thing that we did on the trip. But I do want to hit some highlights for you today. And there's a purpose for doing that other than just telling you what we did. And I've got something I want to announce at the very end of today's message. And I'm not leaving, by the way. I'm not moving over to Ecuador. Although, on the way back, I looked at Lori on the plane. I was like, honey, I think we need to go to Ecuador as missionaries. And she was like, no. I said, what? I was like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I love our church, and we're right here unless the Lord tells us to do something different, and that's not happening right now. I want to kind of give you a summary of this week. It started out with a very weary beginning, at least weary for me. I think there were some other people. We had a flight itinerary that we will never do again. Even Clint said we probably screwed up doing it. He was trying to save us some money on the cost of the trip. So we left out of Northwest Arkansas. Our flight out of there was at 6 a.m., so we needed to be there by 3 a.m. That's almost a two-hour drive there. So most of us got up around midnight. got loaded up, drove to the airport, or met some of us went a little bit early the day before. Either way, we landed in Miami, stayed in Miami on the way there, I think eight or nine hours in the airport, until we flew out again to Quito, which is the capital city of Ecuador. By the time we got our baggage, got loaded on this big old tour bus that we lived in for the rest of the week, pretty much, we arrived at our hotel in a little city called Salcedo, Ecuador, really late on Friday night. And I'm going to tell you, I was, even on the bus ride to the hotel, I just felt that I was exhausted. I didn't sleep hardly at all the night before. I had a lot of anxiety, and I was like, oh, I hope and pray this trip goes well. So I'm just zapped. And Clint, who most of you know, if not, he's the founder of Emmaus Global Missions, who we worked with to coordinate this. Clint gets up at the front of the bus right before we get to the hotel, and he says, hey guys, there's a little pastor we're working with this week named Felix, and he has asked us if we would do an outreach tomorrow morning, and it was about an hour away from our hotel, with these kids that are going to be in the community. And I'm thinking, why are we doing it tomorrow morning? Of all days, we're all exhausted, we're all tired, we're going to get about 3 or 4 hours of sleep at best. So of course we were all like, yeah, we'll do that, we'll love it, yeah. So we get to our hotel. I'd like to say I got a great night's rest that night, but our hotel was interesting. It was a great little spot to stay, but there was a rooster that, he didn't just roost or crow at the break of dawn. This guy crowed all night long, hourly. The walls, I could hear people, I was on the fourth floor, I could hear people speaking on the ground, I mean, just talking in normal tone. So it gives you an idea. The walls were very thin, so I don't know. Most of us didn't get a lot of sleep that first night at all, and we got up and we went to this little community up in the mountains. And I got to tell you, even though we were tired and weary from travel, what a great day. There was a bunch of these little kids. You're going to see about everything I mentioned this morning, the stuff that will be on the video. I decided to show it at the end so you would understand some of the pictures and videos you're going to see. But we got up there, and there was a bunch of little kids running around, cutest kids you ever seen. And we were able to play some soccer with them. I say we. I didn't play. I couldn't breathe. But we got up there, and some of those who were in a little better shape were able to actually get out and enjoy that with the kids, and I just stood over there clapping, you know, woo, way to go, USA. Anyway, these little kids know how to play soccer, and they schooled us gringos pretty good, but it was a wonderful time. We got some great pictures of all that. We got to minister a little bit in the community that day. So that was on Saturday. On the following day, on Sunday, we went to church, just as many of you did, and you were here worshiping, and we were there worshiping, and we went to this little church in Latacunga, Ecuador, which was just about 30 or 40 minutes from where we were staying. We met a pastor, that same pastor that we'd done some ministry with the day before. His name is Pastor Felix. I love that guy. He has been ministering in this little local church in Latacunga for 24 years. He started the church with three couples. And he's in, you know, and it wasn't a big church. I would guess there was 25 or 26 of us, and there was probably 60 or 70 of them, maybe. I don't know, somewhere in there. So it wasn't a huge church. But man, those people were filled with the joy of the Lord. We got done with that service, and several of us left that service just like, oh my goodness, these people were so happy and just so thankful that we were there. Wonderful ministry there on Sunday. Monday through Wednesday was really the bulk of what I would call our ministry time. I know Clint has mentioned this before when he was here. Emmaus Global Missions partners with a company called Filters of Hope. I came home yesterday, got up yesterday after a little bit of sleep, and first thing I did is I went to filtersofhope.com or .org, whatever it is. And if you haven't had a chance to check them out, you should check them out. They do a wonderful ministry. This Filters of Hope provides water filters to over 70 countries throughout the world, and it provides people with clean drinking water. And we take that for granted here, to be real honest with you. Almost everywhere we went, we couldn't drink the water. Matter of fact, I was talking to one guy who said that him and his buddy were getting ready to leave and go to work. When they go to work, they go for 22 straight days. They come back for 8 days, they turn around and go for 22 days. And he said that when they go to work, a lot of the workers, the men that are there, get sick from the drinking water, and it's all they can do to work, and they have to work to keep their job. So it was quite a deal. But this Filters of Hope provides these little round filters. I don't know, they're about that long, about that big around. And these little filters are, they use the same technology that you find in kidney dialysis. So they filter out, or at least they claim that they filter out 99% of all bacteria that is in water. About the only thing they can't filter is lead. So everything else they can filter. They trained us up as to how to present these, and they gave us a little bucket, and it came with the filter, and it came with a little hose and a connector, and it also came with a little, like a drill bit and a handle, and we showed them how you can drill a hole in the bottom of that bucket. You get that hole through there and you get it all cleaned up, and we show them how to connect that hose to the bucket. And then we fill that bucket with their own water from wherever. And then, just to add some emphasis, one of the people in the group would go get a cup full of dirt right off the ground, and we dump it in that water and we stirred it around like you're making a mud pie. I mean, we made it nasty. And then we would show them how you can just hold that bucket up. It requires no electricity, it just uses gravity, and so the water would come out of that hose, run through that filter, and we put it in a little cup, and it came out crystal clear. And when we got done and we put a little bit in the cup, whoever was doing the presentation at that time, by the way, we broke up into about five or six groups of about five or six people, and so everybody got a chance to do a little different job every day. And we would take these filters, or we'd take the water and we'd put it in the cup, and then the first thing we'd do is we'd be like, all right, watch this, and we'd swirl it down. And it was interesting, every time, almost every time we'd do that, in my groups anyway, they'd watch and they'd be looking at you like, what's going to happen now, you know? I even made a joke a couple of times, we'd just swirl it down, and I'd be like, oh, look out, you know. But we gave them a chance to drink it, and every one of them did. They'd swirl down the water, and they were kind of amazed by it. Folks, these filters, if they're cleaned once a day, and we had to stress that with every one of the groups, you got to clean these once a day, and to clean them, literally all you did was took the hose off and went to the other side where the clean water came out. We gave them a big syringe, and when you had to fill it with that filtered water, so they fill up a cup with filtered water, pull a big old syringe out, and backwash that, and it would, all this nasty stuff would come out the other end. You do that three times, and all of a sudden, there's clean water coming out. It literally cleans that easy. You can do it in 15, 20 seconds. So these filters from Filters of Hope, if they're cleaned once a day, they will provide clean drinking water up to 250 gallons a day for 10 years. For 10 years, these people, if they take care of these filters, like we said, now have clean drinking water, and none of them have ever had clean drinking water. We were blessed to be able to provide clean drinking water to over 70 families throughout the course of those 3 days. On Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we met with 70 families, their representative. And so now, if we accomplished nothing else, which we did, but if we did nothing else, there are 70 families in Ecuador that are now going to have clean drinking water for the next 10 years just from those little 3 days. God is good, let me tell you. Now, those filter systems, they didn't just provide clean drinking water. They provided us a wonderful segue into the next best thing we brought, or not the next best, the next thing that is the best thing, and that is the gospel. So there are so many parallels that you can use with this clean drinking water. Oftentimes we would take a cup of the old nasty stuff, you know, dip it right out of the bucket, and you'd have this nasty brown water. And then when we were done, we would take one of the filtered cups full of clean water, and you could hold those side by side, and it was a wonderful visual to show the people there that, hey, every one of us are born like this. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we become reborn into this. And many of them never heard any of that kind of gospel at all. I remember one little elderly lady at the end of the presentation, and we got through all that. We said, do you have any questions? And she said, now I understand that Jesus is my filter. So it was just, the parallels are endless. The ways to take that over there and to show them the gospel. Many of the people that we shared with, many of them, I would say a good percentage of them, at the end of the presentation, we'd ask, do you want us to pray with you? Do you want us to lead you in a prayer to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Many of them, probably most of them, said, yeah. And we got to pray with them. We'd circle up and we'd pray with them. Or at least I think most of the groups did something similar to that. But here's the fact. I don't know how many of them really got saved. I don't know how many of them were really genuine. Some of them may have felt obligated because we were giving them clean drinking water. Some of them may have thought, well, yeah, we'll let them pray with us, you know, but we're not really into all this. I don't know. But the point is, I don't need to know. And it's not my job to even know. Matter of fact, the same truth applies right here. We have people on Sunday morning who hear the gospel here, and at the end of service, I say, who wants to accept this message and be born again? Someone raises their hand and I pray with them. I don't know if they're genuinely born again. I don't know. And it's not my job to know. God knows who is and God knows who isn't. But I do know that we had a wonderful time, and I do know that this church and everybody that went did an amazing job. And I got to tell you, as a pastor, it just overwhelmed my heart to look around in all those other groups and see people that I know have never done this before, standing there with their Bibles open, looking at people and walking them through scriptures. Now turn over here. I want to read this for you. Now turn over here. I want to read this for you. And then to see them standing up, and it wasn't Pastor Steve coming over and praying with them. It was just whoever was in the group that day, they prayed. They were praying together. I got to tell you, it warmed my heart. It did so much for me to see just how many of our people really stepped up to the plate and did an amazing job. The people that we shared the gospel with were in what is known as the highland regions of Ecuador. I am now an expert in Ecuador, all things Ecuador. So I'll explain this to you. Ecuador is divided into four regions. There's the highland region. There's a coastal region, there's a jungle region, and then there's the Galapagos Islands. I can't hardly say it. Galapagos Islands is another region, kind of a whole other different deal. We were in the highland region, and let me tell you, it was high. It was up there. That first Saturday that they took us up to this area, we stopped at a little village, and they had a little community building. And it was about 9,500 feet above sea level. And I remember getting off the bus. I was like, oh boy, I can kind of tell how out of shape I am. You know, that's why I didn't play soccer. Some of those guys that were playing soccer, you know, they were, even Kyler's in great shape, by the way. And Jaden and others were playing, and they were coming over like, and meanwhile, these little 9-year-old boys were running around like it's nothing, you know. We got up there into the highlands, and the community that we were ministering to the whole time, it was an interesting ministry because almost all of them were what they would call Catholic. Now, their Catholicism is very different than the Catholicism you see here in the United States. It is a very idolistic Catholicism. And by that, I mean they had all kinds of idols. Matter of fact, every little community had their own idol. For instance, the community we were staying in, they had an idol of the Archangel Michael. So if you go around town, you would see different idols. What might be, and you would see people come by and do the sign of the cross and touch these idols. And even one meeting we had up in the community, we had a little guy named Leonardo who just, we were all having kind of a meeting and debriefing. He just photobombed our meeting, just kind of walked in with a little songbook. He wanted to sing us a song. And Clint told us, he interpreted the song for us, and the first line of the song was, "Oh Mary, I give you my heart." So all of these people were well steeped in Catholicism and idolatry, which means we were ministering to people who believed in God, but they'd never really heard a true gospel. I even asked a couple of guys, "Do you believe when you die you're going to go to heaven?" "Yes, yes, see. "Why are you going to go?" "Because we're good people. We work hard. We love the Blessed Mother." Okay. So you see, that was what we were ministering to the whole week. So we had an opportunity to give them the true gospel up there in the highlands. And even Clint said that the place we went the first time, he's like, "Guys, there's been hardly nobody here because it's hard to get up there." We were in a tour bus, and it seated probably 30 people. We took that tour bus in places that I wouldn't even take a Jeep. That is the truth. Matter of fact, there was a day we went from that 9,000 elevation, we went on to the top. I think we were at the top of the world. We hit 12,300 feet of elevation at the top of this mountain. And to get up there, there was a little dirt road about as wide as this, and we drove that tour bus on these switchback roads all the way to the top. And there, it was kind of freaky. I mean, there was people looking out the window like, oh no, I can't look out there. I mean, it was serious. And we get to the top and we're at 12,300 feet. And my brother-in-law, who's kind of into aviation and this and that, he, you know, and he's also kind of one of those guys that ought to go on Jeopardy because he seems to know a little bit about everything at some point. But he even said, he's like, do you know that in the FAA, if you get to 12,500 feet, it's required to supplement with oxygen. You have to have oxygen available. We're up here at 12,300 feet, and we don't have any oxygen at all. And I did. I felt like I was going to die the whole time we were up there. I mean, just standing, not even doing anything, there were times I was just like trying to force air into my lungs. That's why they call it the Highland Region. And it became very hard to breathe, but you know what? God gave us the breath to minister to those people, people who had never heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It was truly a pioneering work. And God is good. We got to pray with several people. Again, like I said, we provided 70 of these buckets and filter systems to those folks in those communities. There was also a time, well, I'll get into that. I don't want to jump too far ahead. Every morning at our hotel, before we took off, Clint or the team there, we had a team of translators. Six, I think there were six of them. Was there six? There were six of these translators, wonderful people, absolutely wonderful people. They're doing a great work. They take groups throughout all over Ecuador, and they do this work. Wonderful group of people. And each morning they would ask one of us gringos in our group to do the devotion. And we had several people who got up and did that. Wonderful time. And I'm telling you, I don't know. It's just, again, we were all in awe and wonder of everything God was doing. And our folks got up and gave some devotions. So we did that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday night, we went to church. You sinners weren't in church Wednesday night, but they were in church with us. I'm just kidding. We canceled church Wednesday night. Pastor Felix invited us to come to his church, and that was in Latacunga. And he asked that we have some folks get up and give some testimonies. And I got to tell you, Laura, Kyler, Jason, they all got up, shared what the Lord was doing in them. And all of them were at some point just overwhelmed with emotion in sharing all that the Lord had been doing in our hearts and lives that week. It was touching. It was powerful. We got a good picture up here for you where you'll see a whole group of us in the church. We invited all, you know, most of the church folks that were there to come and be a part of that. Thursday was our tourist day. So after about 5 days of ministry or 6 days of ministry, we got to go visit some local sites. We don't have much of that in the video because I really wanted the video to be more about ministry than just, you know, the fun stuff that we did, which wasn't a lot, but that one day we did. The very end of the video, you'll see kind of a big drone footage that we got to do in the city of Quito. But Thursday, went around the city, ate a little bit of better food, had some great pizza. Thursday night, after all that was over, they decided to move. I know you're already laughing, some of you. Thursday night, we moved into a hotel that was right next door to the airport. I will call it the Hotel of Terror. It's bad. I'm not complaining. It's just a fact. I've stayed in some rough places. This one was right up there at the top. Even our better hotel that we stayed in all week, it had its issues, right? It had the crow and rooster and some water issues. There were several times people got up and, you know, you turn the water on, you might have water come out, you might not. Really, really fortunate if you had any hot water. So, you know, there was different things there. And the one thing we learned about, I don't know if this is all the hotels, but both the ones we stayed in, don't want to get too graphic here, but you could go to the bathroom and you could flush, but you could flush no paper. Nothing. Only what you contributed could be flushed. You couldn't flush any paper. So there was a little can next to those toilets where any toiletries would go, and they had it like a little trash can and have a little lid on it. And at least in our room at our hotel back in Quito, they only emptied that like twice the time we were there. So there were, you know, it got to points where I had to take it downstairs and be like, could you please do something with this? And they looked at me like I was crazy. You know, they're like, what's the problem? This is only 2 days old. Yeah, please. So we got to our hotel of terror, and it was different. I mean, there was a point where Lori and I was laying on the bed, and we really didn't want to even get undressed. We just kind of left our clothes on, and we were laying there, and we both just started laughing, and we were like, this is great. It was like a little closet, you know. You opened the door, and it was like a little closet with a little toilet right over here, and it had a shower and this and that. Either way, so we get to the Hotel of Terror Thursday night, and the reason we went there is because it was right next to the airport. And I thought maybe Clint was just playing a crude joke on us. And so I asked the translator the next morning, and I said, you guys ever had a group stay here before? And she's like, oh, yes, every group stays here. I was like, wow. Here, I thought we were just getting a mean joke played on us. But either way, we moved into the Hotel of Terror that night. Friday morning, we had to be at the airport. We got to the airport about 3:30 a.m. Friday morning to get through customs, do all that for a flight that left out at 6 a.m. We had another long, long layover in Miami again. We rolled in after some issues on the trip home, nothing major, but we rolled into our house about 2:30 a.m. yesterday morning. So one of the many things that the Lord showed me this past week is he just reconfirmed to me something I preached a couple weeks ago, and that is evangelism and mission is 100% spiritual warfare. When you get serious about sharing your faith, get ready. The devil is going to do all he can to stop that. And we experienced a lot of that this week. We had numerous folks this week that dealt with a lot of different physical issues, a lot of stomach issues. Even the altitude up there can affect your stomach and your bowels and all that. We had people getting motion sickness. We spent several hours on that big old bus, and I'm not talking cruising down the highway nice and smooth. I mean on dirt roads, going up and down mountains and hitting brakes and starting brakes. And you know, there was time when we were going up those mountains and the whole bus is swaying like this, you know, and people are looking down. Yeah. And people were getting sick from that. And there's other issues that are going on. I know you all are thinking, why are you sharing all this? There's no way I'm going on a trip. I want you to know what you're signing up for one, but more on that in a few minutes. There was also logistical issues. At one time going up the mountain, we busted a spring on the bus. Had to get that repaired. There was a day when the local Catholic priest who heard that we were coming back into the community rallied the community together, or at least he got with the community leaders, which would be kind of like our city council. He got with the community leaders, told them to rally all of the people, and they did. And they basically had a meeting, and I don't know if even all of our team is aware of this. We didn't necessarily share all this. Clint shared it with me. Pastor Felix shared it with a few. But they were talking about what to do with us and possibly even what to do to us. And there was some talk as to whether or not you can either, A, take their buckets and hear what they have to say, and the priest was saying, you will not do that. Or B, when they get here, we can slap them around a little bit and send them back down the mountain. And we got there, and we had left Clint down at a little lower spot, and we got there, and we seen all these people. Our translators were like, whoa, they're having a meeting here. And then all of a sudden, a few minutes later, before we even got started, I saw Clint come up in another vehicle. I thought, well, that's odd. And he goes in there, and we all, like a bunch of idiots, we just follow him in, like, hey, everybody, you know. So we all go walking into this meeting, and we're standing at the back. And of course, they're speaking in Spanish. We don't know what they're saying. It's probably a good thing we didn't. And Clint's up there speaking to them. And then when we get done, we come outside. And Clint looks at me and says, you Church in Action folks have really stirred it up. I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, they're having a meeting in there about us. And they're talking about what they're going to do with us. And he goes, I think we're going to be okay. I was like, I'd like a little stronger confirmation than that. Long story short, what it really came down to is the Catholic Church, the priest, was saying, you don't take anything they offer you, and you don't listen to any message they give you. And so the community leaders said, here's our choices. We can run these people away, or we can take some fresh water. And the community said, Catholic Church isn't providing any clean water. These people are. Let's hear what they have to say. So that opened a door for us to be able to minister to these people. And we went through a few minutes there where some of them were like, just give me my bucket and I'll go home. And Clint in the translation team said, nope, that's not the way this works. If you're going to take our bucket and our filter, you got to hear what we're going to have to say. So they agreed to it. I don't know how many we ministered to that day, but we got to minister to a lot of people that day. And folks, we got to pray with a lot of people that day as well. I even heard one man who asked a question. Poor old Jaden was trying to share the gospel. It was his turn, and he was sharing the gospel with these three guys, or maybe two guys, and one of them, as soon as he took a break, the first thing he said was, "Explain the Blessed Mother." And Jaden was like, "I'm out." He's like, "I don't know." And I was like, "All right, let me help here, brother." But he said, this man said, his name was Segundo, and Segundo said, "We have been raised always to worship and honor the Blessed Mother, the Father, and the Son." And we were able to explain to him, there is no Blessed Mother. She was blessed because she carried the Christ. That's as far as the blessing goes. She is not holy. She is not divine. She was never divine. We don't pray to her. That's actually an idol. That's something you idolize her. Here's what we recognize, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he even said, when we were done, he said, "From today on, I worship the Father and the Son." And we had to say, "Hey, don't forget the Spirit." And he was like, "Oh, yes, I worship the Father, Son, and Spirit." So that's what we were dealing with. I want to thank, one of the things the Lord reminded me again was just, we don't wrestle with principalities and powers. We wrestle with spiritual darkness that's trying very hard to keep people blinded to the truth of the gospel. And that was just absolutely true. And I don't think that any of those things that came up this week, from the bus issues, the travel issues, to the sick stomachs, to all the stuff, I don't think any of that was just by coincidence. I truly believe we were engaged in some pretty serious spiritual warfare this week. God got us through it. God prevailed. His word went forth. Praise God. I also want to say, I am so proud of everybody that was a part of that trip. I know I told you all this in the airport, but despite the craziness of our lodging and the bad water and even the food they fed us, which was safe, I ate more rice than I can ever contain. But despite all of that, nobody threw a major fit. Nobody got angry and upset and said, "I'm not doing this anymore." There was none of that. We have such a wonderful group of people, and I want to thank each and every one of them for hanging in there and doing the tough stuff of ministry. I also want to thank all of you, and I know I said this a couple weeks ago. This trip, and I do not think we can do this moving forward. I don't know that we can sustain this. This trip, we asked everybody to put down a deposit, and then the church paid the remaining balance after the deposit. I don't know how much of that we're going to be able to do moving forward, but I was so proud of everybody that went on this trip and the way that they shared the gospel. And I looked around and I saw everybody praying with people and explaining to people. It was just so wonderful. And I know that God really lit a fire in everybody that was there. And the other reason I wanted to share all of this, besides just saying, where I was going with that, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Everybody that went on that trip for that amount, for that expense, could only do so because this church is so giving. That really is true. We have been blessed from day one in this body to have people. And there was no one person that paid our entire way or one or two people that covered the cost. It was because this church as a whole, week in and week out, you give. And I want to say thank you to that. And that's what makes this kind of ministry possible. All right, so thank you to you as well. I also shared all that with you this morning because I pray it's going to light a fire in all of you. We're going to go back. Right now, we are tentatively planning on a January trip. If you think you might be interested in going, come see me. Let me know. We're going to have a meeting. Clint, even we were talking yesterday, actually. I know January is about 6 months out, but we need to start planning pretty soon for that. So we'll have an informational meeting coming up. We'll show you more photos, more videos, so you can kind of know what to expect. But if you think you'd be interested, we really need a minimum of 8 people. And we're going to try to keep our next trip to about 15. So don't linger long because we may be over that amount when you need to push you out to the next trip. So that's going to be coming very soon. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 52 real quick, and I'm about done. One morning, Clint forgot to ask anyone to do devotions. He said, "Steve, you got a devotion you can share this morning?" I said, "Absolutely." In my own devotion time, the morning before, I was up on the roof of the hotel. I didn't Spider-Man up there. They had stairs, got up to the roof. Anyway, I was up on the roof and I was reading my Bible and I was praying, and the Lord brought me to Isaiah chapter 52, and he says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation." In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul used that as a text when he was talking about how important it is that we send people out to share the gospel. And in verse 15, he says, "How will they preach unless they are sent? And as it is written," and he quotes right here, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Folks, everything we did this past week, even the hard stuff, the ugly stuff, the not so good stuff, the smelly stuff, everything we did in the name of Christ was beautiful work. It was beautiful work, and I thank God for it. But that beautiful work does not have to be limited to Ecuador. As a matter of fact, those of us that went on the trip, many of us talked about this, and we've decided missions work can happen right here in Mount Vernon, Missouri. And honestly, it should. Why should we fly 4 or 5 hours away to tell people about the gospel when we're rubbing shoulders with people every day who need to hear the gospel? So I have an announcement to make. We are going to start a new ministry. I've been saying that a lot lately. We're going to start a new ministry here at Church in Action. We are going to start an evangelism and missions team right here in our church. I want you to be praying about that. That team is going to help us coordinate events or outreach. Could be local, could be something nationally in another state, and it very well will be part of an international ministry going back to Ecuador or wherever the Lord leads us. If you have a passion to share your faith, or maybe you just want to learn how to do more of that, let me know. We're going to have an informational meeting in just a couple of weeks. I'm going to strike while the iron's hot. We're going to have an informational meeting in a couple of weeks to kind of inform you as to what that will look like. If you decide you want to, after that meeting, you decide you want to be a part of that group, we're going to put a group together and we're going to start planning some outreach, evangelism, and mission things moving forward. If somebody would go get my wife, please, or Michaela, if you're out there and you're listening, this would be a good time to bring the kids on up. We are going to show you a video here. And again, the reason I left this till the end was I wanted you, when you see these pictures and you see these photos, you'll have a little bit better understanding of what you're looking at and what it means. The Lord has been, I think I shared this a couple weeks ago, the Lord's been burdening me for a while to really get serious about our evangelism, to get active in evangelism. And we are going to do that. With you or without you, evangelism is going to happen here at Church in Action. And I hope it's with you. I hope it's with every one of you. And folks, please hear this. I'm not saying that everybody has to go to Ecuador. You may not physically be in a place to be able to do that, or even financially, whatever it might be. But you can be part of something locally. And as John Piper has said many times, and I'm going to keep quoting it, you can go on mission, or you can send others to go on mission. Or there's a third option. You can be disobedient to the Scripture. Those are the only three options we have. You go, you send, or you be disobedient. And for me, and as the pastor of this church, the third option is not an option. Let's enjoy this video together. And guys, we may need to turn the lights off or a few of them off, because I think it'll come in a little closer.
Things that Jason was having so much fun with, those ribbons, those were donated by Janet Stevens. They make those in their work, and they had a huge order come in, and then somebody canceled, and she just gave them to us to take. The kids loved them. They were perfect. We also gave out some little bracelets. Folks, all I can say is I continue to be overwhelmed by God's goodness and His grace. That was the beginnings of what I pray will be many, many years of fruitful ministry here and abroad. And again, if you want to be a part of that, come see me, and we'll be meeting together very, very soon. Stand with me if you would. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for just where you're taking us as a body, as a church. I thank you, Lord, for the way you have burdened many people in this church to reach lost souls for the kingdom of God. Lord, truly, when we say we go on a missions trip, we have learned, and I pray that everybody understands, that is taking the Great Commission to all the nations. And I thank you, Lord, that we've had such a wonderful opportunity to do that this past week. I thank you for every person that we got to pray with. I pray for those that were truly born again through that message of the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to do a work in their heart. They've been justified. Now, Lord, send people in their life that are going to help them continue to walk in their sanctification.